call the order, the April 25th, 2022 board meeting order. Remind everyone to please mute your phone or computer microphone when not speaking. In addition, if anyone other than a board member would like to speak, please use the raise hand feature and wait to acknowledge by the board recorder. Thank you. Roll call, please.
Thank you. City of Beaverton, Laura Mitchell.
Here.
City of Hillsborough, John Godsey.
Here.
City of Sherwood, Sean Garland.
Here.
City of Tigard, John Goodhouse.
Here.
City of Wilsonville, Kristen Ackerval.
Here.
And TVWD, Jim Doan.
Here.
Thank you. This concludes roll call. All other attendance will be recorded using Microsoft Teams.
Thank you. And then next we'll do the general manager's report.
Chair Goodhouse.
Mr. Kraft, what is that?
Very good. Thank you, Chair Goodhouse. Can somebody acknowledge that you all can hear me? Okay, good. Thank you. I'm getting a bad network quality here, so just at the perfect time. But anyways, let's go ahead and get into it. As we always do with the general manager's report, we start off with a safety minute. Tonight, it's about distracted walking. So what the heck is distracted walking? It can be dangerous. So there's hazards all around. People are often distracted by their cell phones or reading while they're walking. And if you're not paying attention, these hazards can lead to injury. So what do we do to stay safe? Follow these tips. It's a focus on the people and obstacles in front of you. In fact, not just the people, but pets and other things that might be moving around you. Focus on them to make sure you're safe while walking. If you're wearing headphones or earbuds or anything like that, maintain a safe volume where you can still hear your surroundings. And a couple of more tips are to pay attention, especially near curbs, intersection stairs, elevators, escalators, anything like that that might be a tripping hazard. Stay alert on and near streets, no matter what time of day it is. Cars and buses are all around. And remember that drivers may not always see you, so just pretend you're invisible to them and be safe. So continuing on with the general manager's report, starting off with a raw water facilities update. So that project has reached phase one complete milestone. One piece of the phase one work that remains incomplete is the installation of the intake screen protection piles. The first attempt to install them last year was unsuccessful in terms of driving the piles to their design depth. A second attempt will be made this year during the upcoming in-water work period to finalize their installation. Work includes driving the screen protection piles to the design depth and installing a catchment fence. While the majority of the WIF project elements were completed in phase one, a few elements remain to be constructed in phase two. These include HVAC, power, and resiliency improvements into the raw water pump station. Phase two work will also include construction of remaining Willamette supply system elements, including the upper side electrical building, surge system, and backup power. Phase two construction is scheduled to begin in September of 2022. A couple of comments here about the WIF IGA, the Intergovernmental Agreement, and WIF easement updates. Staff is working on updating the WIF IGA Exhibit 1 draft easement layout from 2017, an existing DSL easement to represent the as-built conditions. So I apologize for using an abbreviation there. But the DSL easement is the easement of our pipeline below the below the water level, essentially. It's a state easement. Once those are complete, staff will bring this item to the management committee for review before bringing it to this board for approval. Because the WIF IGA also includes provisions for the Willamette Water Supply System's raw water pipeline easement, some other IGA revisions will likely be related to completing that easement work as well. Quarterly financial reports, Task 4C of the annual work plan requires the managing agency to prepare quarterly financial reports and provide them to the WIF board as part of the packet. Attached to this general manager's report is the WIF quarterly financial statement for the period ending March 31, 2022. There's no... Okay. Finally, the last item tonight is we're seeking commissioner input regarding continuing remote meetings. So at the October 2021 WIF Commission Board meeting, commissioners agreed to continue to meet remotely considering the prevalence and transmissivity of the Delta variant of the COVID-19 virus. It was agreed that we would revisit this matter at the April 2022 meeting in preparation for the July 2022 meeting. So staff would appreciate hearing the commissioner's thoughts and preferences regarding whether to continue meeting remotely. So I'll pause now to hear your thoughts on that.
This is Jim Dahl. Because I'm at risk for other health reasons, I would just as soon continue meeting remotely. But if everybody else wants to meet in person, I can pull that off if you like to see me and my really fantastic mask.
Thank you, Jim. It looks like next was Sean Garland, and then Laura, and then Kristen.
Yeah, I'll just, I guess my vote, I'm fine either way, but my vote would be to continue doing these meetings remotely. You know, I work for the state of Oregon. Pre-pandemic, I'm a senior project manager there. Pre-pandemic, it was unheard of to really think of or even consider doing remote work as a project manager. It was traditional that you were always in person. You were in a conference room with somebody. You met somebody face-to-face. After doing, you know, 2+ years of projects, including completing the largest project that the state of Oregon has ever completed, pretty much completely remote, the onus then became, why can't we work remotely? And I see these meetings as being completely functional during the time that we've been doing them remotely. I don't see a reason that we need to be in person, given also Commissioner Doan's situation, as well as his input that he brings to these meetings, I'd like to consider keeping them remote and being able to keep Commissioner Doan on this board. So that's my 2 cents.
Okay.
Thank you.
Sorry. All right. It doesn't matter to me. In person would be great if we didn't have to sit with a mask on the whole time. I've realized after the last couple of years I have asthma pretty bad, and I have been having some agitation and having the mask off. I'm like, wow, you know, I didn't really realize beforehand, but now afterwards that, you know, even when I'm just sitting, having it off is really nice. But either way, I'm good with remote or in person is fine.
This is Commissioner Godsey. I don't know how to put my hand up because I'm on the telephone, but I'm comfortable with the remote meetings as well.
Thank you. And then Kristen?
Thank you. I'm fine with either as well. I see benefits to both. I think sometimes in person, little easier for some of the, pre-meeting relationship building or things like that. But to be honest, sometimes making it all the way out to Beaverton from Wilsonville with traffic and, you know, that there's some commute time that gets built into your day there. And so there's a definite benefit for being remote and being able to just pop upstairs and join you all in this meeting space. But I would say above all is a understanding and grace and just being good hosts to each other in this meeting space. And if there's concern of anybody in the meeting in getting together in person, then I am supportive of continuing remote and, you know, being supportive of different risk levels and things like that. So I'm fine with that. Thank you.
Thank you. Was there anyone else? Or if not, I'll go. I mean, I'm in favor of either one as well. I do agree that in person gives you more, you know, to be able to read everyone, more communications and conversations before and after. I think in person is more effective, but there's many that it won't work for. The only thing is if it maybe is down to one or two people, maybe we look at doing a hybrid. I know that many people are looking at doing the hybrid models where phone in or get in virtually. I don't know how that works. I always call it the max headroom, where you maybe have someone on a head on the screen is sitting there. But I think that whether or not we do it for July, we definitely need to get back to the in-person eventually or soon. So maybe we do a happy medium and do a hybrid or do virtual and then get slowly back to in-person. Kristen, do you have another comment?
Sure. One thought, just as you're saying that it occurred to me, is that we could consider in the future, maybe not immediately, but in the future or something, as you're describing, that once a year, twice a year, we have in person, and the remainder of the meetings are virtual, to kind of strike a medium balance between getting to see each other and have that opportunity for relationship building, but then also having a couple opportunities where the ease of joining the meeting via just hitting that log on button can also be realized. It's just something that we could consider.
Okay, is this more just collect data from staff? Is that what we're looking for, or to see what direction, or do we kind of, it seems like the next meeting we want to go stay virtual?
Yeah, so certainly collect data. Clearly there isn't a winner. I think everyone has expressed there's pros and cons to each. To me, it's kind of like the microwave oven. You know, there's a lot of convenience to the microwave oven, and once we have a microwave oven, it's kind of hard to give it up. And so having these remote virtual meetings where we can actually get business done, it's not ideal, but we can still get business done, and it's super convenient. It's hard to give it up. But we all know that there's some things that we're probably missing out on. And so I'm intrigued by Councilor Akerval's idea about having at least one meeting a year or two, perhaps, that we get together. And so, but I also like the idea of the hybrid meeting where we could still have the space to have a meeting to get together, but either if you choose or you simply can't make it that evening, you could still attend remotely. And so perhaps what we can do, we have an agenda item later tonight where we talk about the calendar. And so the question I'll have for the commission at that time is whether we're going to go from four meetings to three meetings a year. So that's another conversation I'd like to get your feedback on. And so maybe what we can do in terms of having a hybrid meeting at TVWD, they are in the process of upgrading their facilities to do hybrid meetings. I think they'll be ready for that this summer. Frankly, I'd like to give them a little opportunity to get it right, to test it out a little bit. And so maybe we can target our first hybrid meeting, the October meeting, at the last Monday in October. And we see how it goes. And we test it out at that time, and if it works, how does that sound? So we'll do virtual. If we have a meeting in July, it'll be virtual. And we'll shoot for a hybrid meeting in October. How's that for a proposal?
Sounds good.
Seems like a good idea.
Commissioner Godsey, I that's fine with me.
Perfect. Okay, I think that's all the feedback we needed. So unless there's any other questions, that concludes tonight's General Manager's Report.
Perfect, thank you. Next, we're on to public comment. Public comment time is set aside for person one to address the board on items of the consent agenda and matters not on the agenda. Additional public comment will be invited on agenda items as they are presented. Do we have any persons who would like to comment?
Not tonight.
Okay. Thank you. And as a reminder, Annette is monitoring the chat feature for any requests. And now we'll move on to the consent agenda. And the consent agenda items are considered to be a routine and may be enacted in one motion without separate discussion. Any board member may request that an item be removed by motion for discussion and separate action. Any items requested to be removed from the consent agenda for separate discussion will be considered immediately after the board has approved those items which do not require discussion. The concession item A is to approve the January 24th, 2022 meeting minutes. Do I have a motion and a second to approve the consent agenda as presented? And please state your name prior to making the motion and second.
Mr. Chair, this is Commissioner Laura Mitchell, and I move that we approve the consent agenda.
This is Commissioner Garland, I'll second.
Thank you. We have a first and second. And all those in favor, aye.
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 Aye. Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? And the consent agenda passes. Thank you. Next, we'll move on to the business agenda. And consider business agenda item is consider adopting resolution number WIF 01-22, approving the Willamette Intake Facility's annual work plan and budget for 2022 and 2023 fiscal year. Mr. Flans, will you please present the staff report?
And commissioners, we've got slide presentation to go through tonight, so why don't we advance a slide or two here. Okay, perfect. Thank you, Joel. So I'm here this evening with Joel Bennett, Joel Carey, and Christina Walter. Today we are seeking the WIF board's adoption of the annual work plan and budget. The schedule that we have followed to get to this evening and modifications to the annual work plan that have been made since the current plan was adopted. We move forward, thank you. So quick overview, the annual work plan and budget has been reviewed by the WIF operations and the finance committee on January 12th, management committee on March 16th, and today we're asking the WIF Commission Board to have the opportunity to consider and adopt the final annual work plan and budget. In the next slide, it shows that the IGA outlines the requirement of approximately when the annual work plan and budget is to be delivered. Referencing back to the prior slide, we've met the requirements of the IGA. On to the next slide, please. And just to give you the specifics of the schedule, as mentioned earlier, the Operations and Finance Committee reviewed the draft back in January. It was decided at that point that a February meeting was not needed. Then the Management Committee also approved the draft on March 16th, and now we're at that final step of the process on April 25th to have the Commission potentially approve and adopt the budget and annual work plan. Next slide. The annual work plan is made up of a set of tasks, and those tasks form the structure for the annual work plan. The focus today is on changes to the annual work plan, and those are largely occurring in general administration and finance administration portions of the annual work plan. Next slide. If we can advance on the slide. Thank you. So in the general administration section, Joelle and Christina will cover the needed changes, and then I'll provide an overview of the changes in the finance administration area. On the following slide, the additions and changes to the text of the annual work plan have been highlighted to make it easier for everybody to follow along. I'll now hand it off to Joel Carey to cover the next slide.
Thank you, Toby. Good evening, commissioners. Just briefly, just wanted to highlight the text that was changed in the budget. So a few things were clarified. This has been a longstanding budget item we've kept with the WIF budget for the last several years. largely to make sure we have the available resources to cover cyanotoxin monitoring should the Oregon Department of Environmental Quality, and frankly OHA as well, should those two agencies decide that there's no longer funding available to the legislature to cover that funding for water providers. So really this has effectively been a line item to make sure that, again, that we can cover that sampling need as required by the state should that current funding go away for the city of Wilsonville. This was also effectively a effort to make sure that we were sort of establishing the WIF's role in doing water quality watershed planning type activity. So really the language that's highlighted is just effectively trying to clarify that for your awareness and as a public document as well. So that really concludes this slide. Just wanted to make sure that was noted moving forward in the current budget.
And then Christina Walter, can you handle this slide then?
Good evening, commissioners. In a nutshell, what I'm deriving down and boiling down out of that extensive paragraph talking about the change in the protection monitoring and outreach plan, we're basically going to be, we budgeted for phase two of Geosyntec's contract to continue the development and completion of the Watershed Protection Monitoring Outreach Plan. What they have done this fiscal year, or since basically December when we got them under contract, they have completed phases one through three. We have a placeholder put into the budget, and it is a placeholder at this point in time because what we will be doing is hosting a workshop with the WIF Operations Committee in June, whereby we're going to be bringing to them all of the research that Geosyntec and their team have produced, as well as a list of stakeholders that they've identified for us, and condensing that all, getting feedback, and then based on the feedback from that workshop, we will refine the scope of work for phase two to start after July 1st. So while we are making good progress, and I'll give you more of an update on that shortly. But bottom line is, this is a budget placeholder to continue the work that needs to be done to, you know, bring the plan to fruition.
Okay, thank you, Christina. So in this section, what we are doing in the finance administration section is this clarifies that the financial procedures project work will be continued into the next fiscal year 23. And done in conjunction with the Willamette Water Supply System, IGA. So what we're hoping to get is one set of financial procedures for both the WIF and the WWSS, so that we're not creating different processes for very similar projects. Next slide, please. So there are a few other minor changes and clarifications that I wish to point out in the annual work plan. And so if we can move on. In plans development, similar to fiscal years 20 and 21, we have documented the development work of the draft operations plan and curtailment plan that occurred during fiscal year 22. In the assumptions section, next slide please, we clarified that we are still working in a remote environment due to COVID, as we just discussed earlier. And so we wanted to make sure we had the ability to be nimble for both remote and in person. And then lastly, in recognition of our work environment, we clarified that box meals would be provided when we do return to in-person meetings. So those are the changes in the annual work plan. And so now I'm gonna present some information about the budget. So details of the budget are in the packet outlining cost shares for operations and maintenance and capital, as well as details of how the O&M align with the areas of the annual work plan. This slide summarizes the budget. So overall, the WIF budget is down $2.9 million from the $5.1 million in fiscal year 22, bringing it to $2.2 million proposed for fiscal year 23. Operations and administration is up $220,000. Primarily, this is due to the consultant costs for the project that Christina was talking about. And to help offset these cost increases, staff did review the actual time being coded by WIF staff and was able to reduce staff hours by 8% compared to fiscal year 22. So that helped offset some of the consulting cost increases. And our capital outlay will decrease by $3.1 million to the $1.4 million for fiscal year 23. This maintains the overall project cost of $15 million, and this should be the last year of capital cost to the WIF and will be sufficient to cover the remaining cost, which is primarily that carryover of in-water work that Dave was talking about earlier in the meeting. And that concludes the presentation of the annual work plan and budget. Are there any questions at this time? And using the 8-second Kraska rule, if there aren't any questions, what staff is seeking is adoption of the annual work plan and budget this evening.
Thank you, Mr. LaFrance. Seeing no questions, seeing no hands raised, it looks like, none from the phone. Then do I have a motion and a second to adopt resolution WIF 01-22?
This is Jim Doan. So moved.
Commissioner Gadsby, I second.
Perfect. First and second. All those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay, and the motion passes. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Mr. France.
Thank you.
Next, we'll have a business agenda B, considering adopted resolution WIF 02-22, approving regular mini dates of the Willamette Intake Facilities WIF Board Commission for fiscal year 2022 and 23. Mr. Kraska, will you present the staff report, please?
Yes, sir. So good evening again. And this is a pretty brief item. The WIF IGA requires us to set a calendar each year. And so it's always at the April meeting that we set that calendar for the next fiscal year. The IGA also requires that this body meets at least twice a year. Since the beginning, we've been meeting quarterly, and it seems to have worked out well for us. It made sense at the beginning of setting up this commission, and with all the activity that we had going on with all the improvements to the WIF facilities. Staff is noticing, though, going forward, that with the completion of some of the activities out in the construction work, there may be a desire to meet less frequently because we will have less items for board consideration. And so it's really out of that standpoint of being cognizant of your time and being just efficient in operating the commission. So if we were to drop a meeting, we would recommend dropping the July meeting. July is often a busy time personally for folks anyways. And also in terms of the operations of the commission, it's the lightest agenda typically for us. So that's really the sum total of this particular agenda item. The two options really for the board to consider. One is continue with quarterly meetings as we have been since the beginning of the commission, or two, the other option is to go to three meetings a year as indicated in the staff report. And with that, I'd be glad to take any questions.
This is Commissioner Gadsby. I'm in favor of going to the three meetings, and I think we have the ability as a commission to change that in the future if when we get operational we find that we need to meet more regularly. So I support this.
Any other questions or comments? If not, I guess maybe we can do kind of a quick kind of thumbs up and see what everyone prefers, and then we have to have someone make a motion in a second for either option one, which would be to remain to quarterly meetings, or option two to switch to three times per year.
This is Jim Doan. Let's meet 3 times a year. Do you want that in the form of a motion?
If you'd like to start the motion off, that'd be great.
Okay. I move that we meet 3 times a year by discontinuing the July meeting unless there's an urgent matter that we need to take up.
Does that need to be moved as WIF 02-22 option 2?
Yes.
Okay.
This is Commissioner
Gadsby. Go ahead.
And I second.
Okay, great. And I think I messed up on the other ones. I did do had the recorder do a roll call. Do I need to do that, or is the way I did the last two okay?
I think it's preferred to do a roll call. I think we can let the last two go, but let's go ahead and we'll have Annette do a roll call this time.
All right.
My apologies on that.
No problem. City of Beaverton?
Yes.
City of Hillsborough?
Yes.
City of Sherwood?
Yes.
City of Wilsonville?
Yes.
TVWD?
Yes.
And City of Tigard?
Yes.
Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. And the motion passes. Next, we'll move on to the informational items. Start with A. Ms. Walter will present a staff report on watershed projection, monitoring, and outreach plan.
Good evening again, Commissioners. This is just a quick update of for the group to let you know where we're at. Things are progressing very well and on schedule for the development of the watershed protection, monitoring, and outreach plan. To just refresh everyone's memories, we concluded the RFP process last November, and we brought GSN Tech Consultants, was awarded the contract, and was brought on board to do this work effort and lead us in these discussions and the research that we needed done. Since then, they have concluded task one, which is more of an administrative function. That's the way the contract was set up. And task two, which was the Willamette River watershed history, characterization, and stakeholder research for us. They've summarized that research. They've prepared a technical memorandum that's right now being reviewed by staff and our core members that are working on this, core staff members that are working on it. Task two involved the summarizing of the history of the basin, its changing conditions, and public perceptions of the river. The team brought into consideration key studies that have been completed that are relevant to water quality. It identifies water quality risks within the Mid-Willamette by type, source, and location. And they also looked at the long-term anticipated climate change risks that could be in front of us shortly, if you will. They've reviewed data, analysis, and trends going back 20 years to characterize and summarize water quality of the Mid-Willamette, its upstream tributaries, and they did also a basin-wide look when focusing on this research. They have also identified important data gaps that are out there, just what studies have not been done that should be looked at and recognized. GeoSyntech is now working on task three. They have their subconsultants, Water Systems Consulting, finalizing a list of stakeholders of governmental and private entities and nonprofits that the commission could be targeting in the future to build relationships with and partnerships with. In the past few weeks, Water Systems Consulting has met individually with representatives of each of the partners. They focused in on the WIF Operations Committee representatives to gain perspectives on the watershed protection thoughts and concerns and where we're at in this stage of development of the plan. Just got one-on-one feedback from them. Task two and task three, which is a focus on the stakeholders, will be the subject of a workshop that staff is right now organizing and will be holding on June 6th. They'll be working with the WIF Operations Committee, and we're targeting a full afternoon to review the findings, review the research, and then to talk about that and give feedback back to the core group that's working with GSN Tech on the next stage of the development of the plan. The workshop will provide the team with feedback on the work done to date and the research, the actual data that's been produced, and will help to guide us as we advance to phase two of the work and finalizing GeoSyntax scope of work for fiscal year 22-23. That's the work that is to start after July 1st. So we're in a really good spot where we've gathered a lot of information. It's being synthesized into a technical memorandum, and that information will be the subject of our workshop to conclude phase one, if you will, and get us launched and prepared in alignment for phase two to start this summer. Any questions I could answer out of all of that?
Okay, perfect. Thank you. Let's wait for a moment, see if anyone else had any other questions. Okay, we'll move on to informational item B. Mr. Carey, will you present a staff report on legislative update?
Yes, good evening, commissioners. So legislative update tonight, just a few key concepts. I think there should be a slide deck in here, so if you could hit next. Here we go, thank you. So just a few key highlights. The 2022 Oregon Legislative Short Session, as they call it, which flips every other year, concluded on March 4th. During this time, tracking and outreach continued for several initiatives and bills, which we'll talk about tonight. So water providers and their associated coalitions, Oregon Water Utility Council, League of Oregon Cities, and Special Districts Association of Oregon continue their engagement during the session. Highlights from these ongoing efforts will be detailed here in further slides. As always, these updates are focused on the water supply and water resources related topics, consistent with the WIF Commission's role in water management for the partners' collective benefits. So next slide, please. So first area to highlight would be House Bill 4061. Related to, generally speaking, water hauling. So this particular bill, which was passed this session, prohibits hauling or arranging to haul water to an unregistered or unlicensed cannabis grow operation. This new law is aimed at reducing illegal cannabis operations that use surface and groundwater without water rights, which, as we are aware of, can deplete already limited water resources for legitimate uses such as agricultural, recreational, and municipal use. According to the Oregon Water Resource Department, these abuses often occur when water haulers legally obtain water from municipal fill stations, which there's an example of right there, but then deliver the water to an unregistered or unlicensed cannabis cultivation site. So the final language of House Bill 4061 requires any water supplier that sells water to the public at a distribution location to retain water sale records for up to 12 months from the date of the sale. The water supplier must present those records immediately upon request to either the Oregon Water Resources Department or law enforcement. Records must include the name and contact information of the person the water was sold to, quantity of water sold, the license plate number of the vehicle used to haul the water, and the purchase date. So crucially, the coalitions that I mentioned previously worked with legislators to include several key provisions. This bill was presented to this coalition and the stakeholders during the legislative process, so we became aware that this was had unanimous support from several key legislators. So given that effort, we want to engage and make sure that we had some of these provisions included, understanding the need for this was legitimate. So these requirements do not apply when water is sold to a state or local government purchaser. Example would be an operation from another city agency, county agency that does wastewater services, for example. A licensed contractor under the Oregon Construction Contractors Board, or OCCB, or water used for firefighting purposes. So those are the exemptions. So member agencies are encouraged to review their existing programs, typically things like bulk water through hydrant meters, or other provisions that cities and municipalities often provide for access to temporary water use or temporary water. Encouraged to review those programs to make sure they meet the requirements of the new law, which takes effect June 3rd of 2022. Next slide. So another key area of engagement during this last session was the Oregon Water Resources Department business case assessment on the value of water. So last year's legislative session resulted in additional investment in the state's natural resource agencies. As a result, OWRD has been working to hire a consultant to support its assessment of the economic value of water and needed water infrastructure investments in both built and natural infrastructure. This was a specific initiative passed by the legislature during the 2021 session last year. OWRD began work on a scope for inclusion in a request for proposal process, which was distributed to key water stakeholders for feedback in February. Municipal water providers shared their feedback, concerns, and questions with the scope and overall goals of the effort. So chief among some of these concerns and questions were, how will this assessment be incorporated into other statewide planning efforts? For example, Oregon's Integrated Water Resource Strategy adopted in 2017. And how will other partner agencies, such as the Oregon Health Authority, Department of Environmental Quality, and Business Oregon, be included in this process given their roles managing drinking and wastewater regulations, public health, and the associated economic impacts? So OWD has responded by noting that this is a, quote, economic report from a broader perspective that may help with strategies around investment and would incorporate feedback into the process. OWRD staff also noted that report results should help guide conversations and provide history on investments and financial models that will help other work groups and efforts in this arena. It's expected that additional stakeholder engagement will occur with this process once a consultant is selected by OWRD. Needless to say, we will be staying engaged in this process and as additional stakeholders are brought to the table to talk about the next steps in the process. Next slide. Another ongoing area of engagement is the Willamette Basin reallocation. So efforts to stay engaged in state-level implementation of the reallocation, or in other words, transfer of stored water behind federally operated dams to multiple water uses, continued with further outreach to Oregon Water Resources Department and the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife in the last several months. Oregon Water Resources Department filled the, quote, Willamette Basin coordinator position, and the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife has several active recruitments in process to support implementation. These positions were also part of last year's additional investment in the state's natural resource agencies. The reallocation subcommittee of the Oregon Water Utility Council has additional meetings scheduled with key agency staff, including the newly hired Willamette Basin coordinator position, to discuss potential next steps in the overall process. Updates on the progress of outreach will continue to be provided during upcoming WIF Commission board meetings, as this outreach is in alignment with the goals identified in the WIF Commission's adopted strategic plan. Next slide, please. So last update for tonight, yet again, another survey slash study that we're tracking. This one is originating from the United States Geological Survey, or USGS. It is titled the Willamette Basin Integrated Water Science Study. There's a mouthful for you. So USGS selected the Willamette Basin as the latest location for an in-depth examination of factors affecting water supply and demand. The Willamette River Basin is the fourth in a series of at least 10 integrated water science basin studies planned by USGS nationwide. These basin studies date back to the 2009 Secure Water Act, which directed USGS to establish a national water availability assessment. Each science basin study is selected to represent a wide range of environmental, hydraulic, landscape settings, and human stresses of water resources to improve understanding of water availability across the nation. The other three basins studied to date include the Delaware River Basin, the Upper Colorado River Basin, and the Illinois River Basin. So little else is known about this effort by regional water providers, similar to the OWRD business case assessment, how this process and ultimately its findings fit into other established or ongoing efforts is of key interest to our various coalitions. USGS has stated they will begin evaluating existing knowledge gaps and plan to consult stakeholders in the spring of 2022. However, outreach is already underway with USGS to better understand this effort. That concludes my report tonight about this particular topic. Happy to answer any questions you might have.
Thank you, Mr. Gary. Any other questions from anyone?
Thank you.
Thank you. And then on that, the next board meeting is scheduled for July 25th. It looks like from our conversation, we'll have that one be virtual. And then from there, we'll go ahead and discuss probably at that next meeting what the, or the next one's gonna be, sorry, October 24th. So the next one will be October 24th. Are we gonna, with that one being that far out, are we gonna stick with it being virtual and then decide from there what we wanna do?
So the proposal earlier tonight was to make the October meeting, propose it to be hybrid. Assuming all goes well with TVWD's IT changeover and everything, and it proves out that it's reliable, that's what I would propose. And I'll communicate with you well and ahead of time if anything looks like it's change it back to virtual.
Okay, perfect. And sounds like there's nothing else. From there, so looks like we'll see everyone either in person or hybrid on October 24th. So everyone have a great night, and we'll adjourn.
Good night, everybody.